This podcast is presented by Chicago Sports Nation. Chicago Sports Nation, enhancing your Chicago sports fan experience. Welcome to White Sox Nation Podcast. This is your host, Jack Thiel. Today we're going to talk about the past games for the White Sox, including the Crosstown Cup. Some injury updates on guys like Johnny Cueto, Lance Lynn, Yoan Moncada, Joe Kelly, and how there's more injuries on the Major League roster, including Andrew Vaughn. We're also going to talk about the performance of Tim Anderson so far, why he's on another level hitting, and what he's done to keep this hot hitting up. And of course, at the end of the show, take a look at next week's games and give our bold predictions. So with that being said, the last time we talked, the White Sox were going in a series with the Royals and Angels. The White Sox had a series with the both of them. And this is when the White Sox were struggling. You know, this is when they really were having a hard time figuring out, like, what do we do? How do we do this? How do we do that? You know, we can't buy a hit. We can't buy anything. And I think that's why, you know, it's kind of an important subject that we talked about, because Dave, last time we talked, White Sox were coming off that 7-3 win against the Royals. Andrew Vaughn, who's been hot from the plate. Then that next game, they unfortunately fell to the Royals in extra innings, 5-2. Sox came back late, but some errors, some miscues allowed the Royals to score three in the 10th inning and win 5-2. Then the White Sox welcomed Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani. They lost Friday night's series opener 5-1. Taylor Ward and Shohei Ohtani at home runs. The White Sox made a one-run game in the first, but the Angels would score three unanswered runs. The White Sox could not really do much, only three hits in total. Angels would go on to win that game. And then the White Sox would win 4-0 on Saturday. A shutout performance by Vince Velasquez, throwing 5 2/3 of innings. Four hits, no runs, no walks, and six strikeouts. And the bullpen was scoreless as well. Liam Hendricks came in and pitched well, coming off that back spasm injury against the Twins. In Sunday's game, the White Sox lost 6-5. The Sox scored all their runs in the ninth inning. They had a chance to win it as they had the bases loaded with two outs, and unfortunately Gavin Sheets grounded out, and the White Sox would lose 6-5. But then they played on Monday once again. The White Sox would go on to win 3-0. It was a career day for Dylan Cease. Cease threw seven innings, only one hit, no walks, no runs, and 11 strikeouts. Hendricks recorded a three strikeout save. Also was offense from Berger and Adam Engel. And then the White Sox traveled to the north side to take on the Chicago Cubs. They took game one on Tuesday, 3-1. Jack Berger had himself an RBI single. Reese McGuire had himself a sacrifice RBI. Tim Anderson took a ball to right field and hit a home run. Cubs did score 1-6 off Jose Ruiz, but a great game out of the arm of Michael Kopech, who threw four innings, four hits, no runs, two walks, five strikeouts. He lowered his ERA to 1.17, and then Liam Hendricks came in four to save his second in a row. And then on Wednesday night, the White Sox swept the Cubs 4-3. White Sox saw themselves down early 3-1, but home run by Leury Garcia, a Gavin Sheets single and A.J. Pollock single. That's all the White Sox needed as the bullpen threw scoreless game. Lucas Giolito threw 5 2/3, but he gave up three runs and struck out 10. But Graveman threw a scoreless inning. Matt Foster looked amazing. Really a key spot. He came in with one out and a tying run at third base and got Seiya Suzuki out on a pop fly and Ian Happ out on a ground out. And then Liam Hendricks came in for the save, his third in a row. The White Sox would go on to sweep the Cubs. They're now on a three-game win streak, and they have won four of their last five. They come in at 11-13. They are 3.5 games out of first place in the Minnesota Twins. and are also 3.5 games out of the wild card. So, interesting week for the White Sox. I think it's also good for them to kind of see them pick it up. I know the Cubs aren't the greatest team, but I feel like these are those types of games where it can really uplift your team. You know, you beat your rival, your fans come out and show, you know, show out and everything, and you're able to beat, you know, like I said, your rival. No matter how good or bad the Cubs are, it's always going to be important for the White Sox to beat the Cubs, no matter who's contending, who's in a rebuild, whatever the case may be. It's important for the White Sox to beat the Cubs. And even they even took 2-2 from the Angels, which I thought was very nice. You know, we only had Dylan Cease for one of the games. Giolito did throw one and we lost, but still, I think you got to take the positives out of this one just because it's a long season. And I feel like this is kind of a type of, you know, 5-game stretch where you can really pick yourself up. You do have games against the Red Sox and Guardians, which are very winnable. But the fact that the White Sox were able to play good baseball, situational baseball, their bullpen showed out, the offense was timely, I just felt like that was a good combo to see from the White Sox going into next week when things looked really bleak last week in those series against the Guardians, the Twins, and the Royals. So our first subject is going to be about Tim Anderson. The reason why I want to talk about Tim Anderson is because, although, I mean, we all know how good Tim Anderson is. I think that is not really the point of this subject. The point of the subject is how well he continues to play and how consistent he is and what he's doing. You know, Tim Anderson is the face of the White Sox. Without him, the White Sox don't go. But Tim Anderson, he has been feeling it at the plate as of late. According to Baseball Savant, in terms of TA's rankings and percentiles within the MLB, he's a pretty high and advertised elite hitter. He is weighted on base, expected weighted on base percentage is 92 percentile. His expected batting average is 97 percentile, which is really good. His expected slugging is 95 percentile. His K percentage is 93 percentile. His barrel percentage is 86 percentile, like I said, which is very good. As of today, he's batting .313 with 4 home runs and 9 RBIs. He is having I know it's only a couple of games, but as of right now, he's having a career-high expected batting average and expected slugging at a very high rate, and he's striking out at a very less percentage, 10% less than 2021. He's also been seeing a lot more breaking balls as of lately. He now sees 41% breaking balls and 48 fastballs, and it really depends, you know, how you go about that. All his home runs are on fastballs, though, but on curveballs, or breaking balls, my apologies, he is batting .242. So, obviously, Tim Anderson is a fastball hitter, but he is just what makes the White Sox go. His percentiles are all elite when it comes to hitting, and I believe the statistics said the White Sox were, I think, 45 and like 10 in the last years when he scored a run or drove in a run, whatever the case may be. Tim Anderson is a locomotive, and it's hard to stop him. He's leading the team in average. He's leading the team in home runs. He's leading the team in hits. He's leading the team with on-base percentage. He's doing it all for the White Sox. And this is a guy that is so important to your clubhouse. And I think that people outside the White Sox don't understand how valuable a guy like Tim Anderson is to the White Sox. He's tied for 10th in the American League for hits. In terms of home runs, he's tied for 11th, or I should say 16th, alongside Andrew Vaughn. And then he is also tied 8th for batting average. So he's one of the top hitters in the American League. And I think that we're just seeing him mature more as a baseball player. You know, I think he's getting to his prime. I wouldn't necessarily say that he's reached his full potential yet, that he's reached his full prime, but he's getting there. He's learning more and more as a hitter. He's learning more and more where to put the ball. Where are the defensemen at? Where can I hit that ball? And they're not going to get it at all. So I think just the way Tim Anderson has gone about these past games, you really can tell the improvement by him. So with that being said, now we're going to talk about some injuries for the White Sox, because it is becoming interesting, and this team is going to be getting guys back, and they are going to be losing guys. And I think that's important to talk about. So to start off, the White Sox, in the next week or so, will be getting back Joe Kelly for his MLB, or not his MLB debut, his White Sox debut. He will be probably next week. Him and Yoan Moncada are likely to join the team next week. Yoan Moncada hasn't played in the majors yet this year because he had an oblique strain. Jake Berger's been taking, you know, Moncada's reps. And then Joe Kelly will be making his White Sox debut out of the bullpen. He was sidelined with a bicep injury. And it'll be good to see Yoan Moncada. I think the White Sox do really miss him. An elite on-base hitter, an elite defender, and I think a guy that's going to show a lot of power out of the box this year. I think that Yoan Moncada has been really hearing the negativity surrounding his name and all the trade rumors, and I really think that's going to fuel him for this year. I really think Yoan Moncada is going to be on a mission, and a mission that he's going to prove the haters wrong. And I'm excited to see Joe Kelly. I think that he's going to be an interesting piece for the White Sox. You know, in the last 4 years, his ERA is around 3.62. I think that you can definitely throw him in there for times in the sixth inning, maybe seventh inning, depending, I guess, the matchups. I do think with the surgence of Matt Foster, Joe Kelly might not get that role right away. I think what Joe Kelly might get is the role Matt Foster used to have when this year was going, or Ronaldo Lopez. So the White Sox have a lot of things to play with here. And it just comes down to if Joe Kelly can execute. Joe Kelly is a great pitcher out of the bullpen. And, you know, we'll see what he can bring to the table. And then Johnny Cueto. He has had a couple of starts with the Charlotte Knights. He seems to be ready. He signed that minor league deal in April, but he's been gradually building his arm up to strength. You still have Lance Lynn out. He's been progressing. And it seems like this could probably be Dallas Keuchel's last performances with the White Sox due to the surgence of Johnny Cueto. And I think that it is time for Dallas Keuchel to, you know, maybe call it a year. He just does not look good at all. He's not helping the team at all. And I understand he thinks that he still has something. I think he's still having, like, hey, I can still contribute, but he really can't. And it's really unfortunate because the first year with the White Sox, he only had a 1.99 ERA, but ever since then, it's been really dismissible for him. This year especially, in his four starts, he has given up 7 earned, 4 earned, 3 earned, and no earned. The no earned was his second start. His first start, or I should say, the no earned was his third start, and then he gave up 4 the next time. He's striking out. He has more walks than strikeouts. His ERA is 8.40, and I think it's time to at least see Johnny Cueto take his spot. And obviously another injury is Andrew Vaughn. He'll be likely heading to the IL. He injured his hand. He got hit by a pitch in the Angel series on Sunday, or Friday night, I should say. Walked it off. Was able to play the rest of the game. But obviously, you can see there was some discomfort between him. And he hasn't played since then. And my assumption is that when Yoan Moncada or Joe Kelly is ready to come up, that will mean Andrew Vaughn will go to the IL, which will create room for one player. And then someone will get sent down. I'm not sure who, possibly Anderson Cervino, just because he is out of the bullpen, but he hasn't really done much, or he hasn't really pitched much in general. So I think that you're going to get him out. Joe Kelly will take his spot. You know, Moncada comes up, and then Vaughn goes to the IL, and I guess when, I mean, you still have Aloy in the IL as well. So a lot of spots for the White Sox to fill, and obviously there's a question about who gets sent down or released if Johnny Cueto comes up. So a lot interesting for the White Sox. A lot of interesting moves are going to be made. So we're going to go to our breaks by Manscaped and Anchor. After that, we're going to take a look at this week's games, give our predictions, and have some bold takes as well. Stay tuned, everybody. Breaking news. This is an important PSA brought to you by Manscaped.com. This is your public service announcement and the news you've all been waiting for. The Manscaped engineering team has confirmed that they have successfully created the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, which is now available for purchase in the U.S. and Canada. This new trimmer was just released only moments ago, and we are one of the first to get our hands on it and share the news. Join over 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you. 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code CHI, C-H-I, at manscaped.com. I'm one of the first people to try the new 4.0, and I'm blown away by the performance. The craftsmanship and details on the 4.0 are next level. Their advanced ceramic blade and skin-safe technology is so good that it almost seems like Manscaped work with Elon Musk engineers to ensure your testes are as safe as possible. Now, what makes this trimmer different than all the other trimmers? It has a new multifunction on and off switch, which you can engage a travel lock, which is created for people who like to travel. The Lawnmower 4.0 gives you the ability to turn the 4000K LED spotlight on and off when needed for a more precise shave. The new trimmer even allows you to customize your trim all over through additional guard lengths with sizes 1 through 4. And looks-wise, it's sleek with a two-tone matte and gloss finish, even features a hot foil-stamped black chrome Manscaped logo. Show that mower off loud and proud. The optimized Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer is waterproof so you can groom in the shower and not have to worry about making a mess on the bathroom floor. Did I mention wireless charging? The Lawnmower 4.0's new wireless charging system uses electromagnetic induction, which can help battery length last longer. If you're still trimming your face with your ball trimmer, it's time to make some changes. So get 20% off and free shipping with the code CHI, C-H-I, at manscaped.com. No person wants to end up with pubes in their mouth, and your balls will thank you. So you get 20% off and free shipping with the code CHI, C-H-I, at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com, and use the code CHI. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped. Welcome back to White Sox Nation Podcast. It's that time of the show. Let's go over this week's games. So the White Sox will have an off day on Thursday, and then on Friday they travel to Boston to face off against the Red Sox for the first time. That first game will be Friday at 6:10. That will be on Apple TV's Friday Night Baseball. It's going to be Vince Velasquez coming off his best start, facing Nathan Eovaldi, who's had himself a nice year, posting a 2.51 ERA. Should also mention the Red Sox coming into the series 10-15. They have lost on their last two games. And on Saturday at 3:10, the White Sox will have Dallas Keuchel on the mound, and the Red Sox will have Nick Pivetta. Both starters really struggling on the mound. Pivetta, though, recording 21 strikeouts in 20 innings. And then on Sunday at 10:35 in the morning, Dylan Cease, coming off his career best start, will face off against Michael Wacha, who has really been the ace of this Red Sox staff so far, posting a 1.38 ERA. And then the White Sox will travel to the Windy City on Monday. They'll face off against the Cleveland Guardians. It'll be Zach Plesac for the Guardians, my apologies, and Michael Kopech for the White Sox. And then on Tuesday, it's going to be Cal Quantrill for the Indians, the Guardians. And for the White Sox, it's going to be Lucas Giolito. So by the next time we talk, the White Sox will have themselves 5 games. They can easily go 5-0 here. Both teams are struggling. White Sox may have found their groove, but I think the Sox can go 4-1 or 3-2. I think you would like the White Sox to just win both of these series against the Red Sox and Guardians. I think that's kind of just what is the best way of picking up wins and wins and wins slowly is just winning series. And when you have the Yankees on deck, this is when you really want to kind of pick up the slack and be like, all right, hey, we got to do this and we got to do that before it's too late. So I think that's going to be an interesting aspect to these games. But I do think the White Sox should go 4-1, 3-2. I wouldn't be shocked if they go 5-0. I think they could. But obviously, I think it comes down to execution. And Yoan Moncada and Joe Kelly won't be back until that Guardian series. So no Andrew Vaughn, obviously, for the Red Sox series. But Luis Robert is back. He kind of had the day off. And you hope that guys like Tim Anderson, Jose Abreu can build off their performances from the Crosstown Classic. And now it's going to be time to finish off our show with the bold predictions. So in five games, I think the White Sox starters keep it going. I think, dare I say, everyone, even including Dallas Keuchel, will throw three or less earned runs. Mostly I'm worried about Keuchel here. Obviously, he can't pitch at the moment. But I think this is a guy who is really upset with his performance, and he knows he has a lot of naysayers, and he wants to prove them wrong. He believes he still has some left in the tank to contribute to this team. So maybe Dallas Keuchel gets it done. It's a bold prediction for a reason. Another one is Jose Abreu hits two home runs. I think Jose's starting to heat up a little bit. I think that home run in Wrigley was a big one for him. Jose tends to heat up as the weather heats up. And next week, the weather is supposed to be absolutely gorgeous. And I think that Jose Abreu can definitely step it up and hit some home runs. Another bold prediction is that Dylan Cease throws another shutout. Depending how many innings he goes, he could go four, he could go seven. But I think Dylan Cease has maybe found what he's been looking for. And I really expect him to come out and just execute on another level like he has been. I think that's something we really could see from him. And my last bold prediction for the White Sox is that they go 5-0. I know we kind of mentioned that they should and they could, but you never know with the White Sox. They're on a 3-game win streak. They've won four of their last five, and I think this is an opportunity for them to go 5-0. So that's it for today's show. You can always tune in on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts, and all podcasting platforms. This is your host, Jack Thiel, signing off and saying, have a great day, everybody.